You Boulder people, take a trip down to Santa Fe. I'm so excited the Earth Guardians are going to be there. Those young eco heroes that have been at Standing Rock protesting the pipeline recently. So, you know, this is an opportunity for us to connect with our New Mexico community and more communities and people coming from all around the planet to have this huge ideal that we need to do things in a sustainable way and unify our energies to create a better world. I'm glad we're all on it together.
Yeah, excellent. Well, that's an excellent way to end Electronic Air. Well, thank you both for participating in the show, and you know, we will continue.
It's always an honor to be here, Buddhabomb. Thank you so much.
Blessed be.
Blessed be. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, online all over the world, kgnu.org. I'm Buddhabomb, having such a great time. Bethy Lovelight and Brigitte hanging tight with me in the studio. Now it's time for the next show, Under the Floorboards. Electronic Air is modern, syncopated electronic dance music. Under the Floorboards is something a little bit different, and I have a lot of fun with that as well. I'm also here for the following show, Sleepless Nights. So I got four more hours of Buddhabomb and this Buddhabomb-a-thon that I do every third Saturday of the month, and I love it. The time goes by so quick, so 6 hours is a blink of the eye. Starting right now, you are under the floorboards.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
In the matters of religion and belief and meaning, the deepest things that come from the deepest part of our beings, we reach to symbol, we reach to poetry, we reach to art to try to begin to articulate what those things are. And I think that we have to acknowledge that we're in this realm when we begin to talk about those. And if we take the symbols and don't acknowledge that they're symbols, then we get into this trouble.
If we try to make them facts, you mean?
Now, does God mean something very real to you, Henry?
Yes.
Yeah, that 90 to 95% of Americans who believe in God, you can break that down. Not everybody believes in the Judeo-Christian God. There's actually a sizable minority who believe in sort of a higher spirit of some generic kind, not necessarily a personal being. Stephen Hawking says we'll know the mind of God. He doesn't mean the Judeo-Christian personal God who we can pray to. He means this, the cosmos as a whole. And to me, what really turned me around when I was a born-again Christian that really challenged me was the idea that there are so many different kinds of gods.
But Jesus himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and nobody gets to the Father but by me.
Different kinds of gods. And
he's either the way or he's not.
And if we, you know, do a show of hands of your listeners, how many believe in Zeus or these different kinds of Greek gods? Well, they'll all be atheists. So the difference between me as a non-believer and them as a non-believer is that we've all dismissed all these other gods except this one monotheistic God. Clearly, this is a historical, culturally determined concept, God and religion is.
Whatever religion, Christian, Catholic, there's only one God.
Freud called religion an illusion.
You feel it in your head. You feel it in your head.
But our science is not an illusion. And Freud was saying, come down from your heights, human beings. You are not as great as you say you are. You are full of sexuality. You are full of hatred and lust and envy. Face yourself. I am going to save you from those delusions.
Is God a person to you, Henry?
Is God a person to you, Henry?
No, he's something more like a thing.
I think this is a really complicated moment.
The thesis of how we believe is that humans are pattern-seeking, storytelling animals. It is almost impossible for us to look out at nature and not find some sort of pattern and then tell a story about it. That's what myths and stories are all about, is giving some meaning to the pattern. And, you know, only in America would a conversation like this consistently be brought back to this need to prove God. Look, you can't prove it. Let me just say it as clearly as I can. There are no proofs of God.
May I?
Whether there is a God or not, nobody knows. We'll find out, I guess, in the end. But in the meantime, as storytelling animals, we continue to spin stories about our world, and the scientific worldview is our story for today.
That just happened. That just happened. You hear so much, that thing just happened.
Kant, Immanuel Kant, Bertrand Russell said, we don't know the intrinsic nature of the physical world. What's it like in itself? What's the thing in itself? Kant said, one natural speculation is that intrinsic nature of the physical world has something very deep to do with consciousness. This leads to what philosophers call panpsychism.
I don't think panpsychism has, my own views. Consciousness is good and something special about human beings, and it's not everywhere. I mean, that's the cool thing about it. It's not everywhere. Consciousness just hides in very special brains.
Well, Berkeley would say, have you ever seen anything without consciousness?
Well, that's true. But
no,
that's
every time you see something, you're conscious.
Well, that's right. But consciousness goes where I go, where minds go. But minds aren't everywhere. Electrons don't have any minds.
Do we really have any record of any observation of anything that didn't involve consciousness? No, because the observation was conscious.
You're getting spooky on me. I think we've got to end this conversation because before I get really weirded out.
This is the Universal Media Network.
It's All in Your Head FM.
You're listening to It's All in Your Head FM, putting the less back in Godless.
Let us have faith.
My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do.
Let us have faith.
He made the trees, he made the seas, he made the elephants too.
Let us have faith.
My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do.
Let us have faith.
Islam. You're listening to It's All in Your Head FM. We're all Mohammeds now.
Islam. Islam.
God is perfect. 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 God is perfect.
Islam.
God is perfect.
Islam.
God is perfect.
Islam. The five pillars were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad in the Arabian desert 600 years after the birth of Christ and recorded in the Quran. Now, a fifth of the world's human beings are Muslim.
God is perfect.
Islam literally means surrender, to lie down in peace before the will of Allah, the one God. But the intent of Islam is to create justice in this world, to unify the temporal and the spiritual.
Was isolated really for almost 800 years. In the desert you have either day or night, you have cold or hot. You don't have these shades. Even the music is only one string. And that has kind of polarized the way of thinking. It's either black or white. It's either you're with me or against me.
Allah is powerful and great.
There is no doubt Muslims believe that God does want human beings to surrender to his will.
God is perfect. So we can say Islam is perfect because God is perfect.
And therefore, those who have not surrendered themselves to God's will are seen as opponents, if you will, to God.
If anybody said anything different than the Quran have to win because it's the Quran is the word of God Almighty.
In Christianity, in Judaism, their creed or their aqidah doesn't make the clearest sense.
Whenever the word Jew appeared in Quran, I always thought they are the people who have been cursed by God.
These guys had the message and they faltered. You've got the message now, don't falter with it.
I start hating the Jews.
All Muslims are haunted by texts. The greatest text of all being Quran, then the other text is Hadith, which is all written. Then we have the Sharia, then we have the fiqh, and we have an attitude towards that text. It is a very controlled attitude. We call it tafsir, we call it exegesis, we call it commentary, and the fuqaha, the religious scholars, have the right to actually comment on it. We also are very keen on certainty. Now, not many Muslims can handle uncertainty, doubt, and even questioning whether God even exists. Now, one of the great Islamic scholars, Al-Ghazali, did ask that question back in the time of the height of Islamic civilization, and I agree with Gada. Somewhere or other, we've got fossilized. We've got to think about epistemology, the way we know things, how we know things. We've got to think about even engaging with philosophy. We've actually sidelined philosophy for theology. And we need to rethink those things in terms of identity in the modern world. Now, we must be careful.
Every single fundamentalist movement that I've studied in Judaism, Christianity is in Islam, is convinced that modern secular society is the enemy of religion and wants to wipe it out. So they feel that they're fighting, and Maududi certainly felt was that Muslims were fighting with their backs to the wall against a hideously powerful force. And that they must exert all their efforts to counter this great threat to religion.
This is a case, as with other great religions, where you can find a justification for your tactics of the moment.
I'm sure. Like in all other religions, not only in religions, any book can be misinterpreted, misread. There is a verse in the Quran, religion in the sight of God is Islam. Some have seen this verse to mean that if you are not a follower of Prophet Muhammad, then you are an enemy of God.
Quran do talk about self-defense and your right to use violence or aggression. These things have been twisted.
You get politics involved, you get cultural baggage involved, and you try to interpret things that actually are very clear.
People like Osama bin Laden, likewise.
People that call themselves Muslims and practice terrorism
can easily misinterpret a verse like this.
The Quran actually not telling me to hate the Jews. It was the teachers who was telling me to hate the Jews.
We've got people misinterpreting left and right and giving a sense of, you know, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. And you've got people that are just, you know, kind of being pulled along with that, and it's completely unfair, and it's completely un-Islamic.
All fundamentalism in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam is becoming more extreme right now. And we're almost getting what I would call post-fundamentalist groups, people who believe they're going beyond the fundamentalism that erupted so strongly during the 1970s into a new, more desperate phase. And I think something like this is happening here.
I would rather we have an Islamic government. Just basically, Islam is a way to organize life. I believe in any country which practices Islamic teachings as God had sent it down to us, we wouldn't have any problems, really.
Have you seen the man who denies Islam?
It's almost as like a sort of nihilism here, as though fundamentalism is moving into what we call an antinomian phase.
By a certain kind of culture based on the charisma.
You become martyr.
The savior.
Martyrdom is what you want.
The redeemer.
Do the effort.
The one-man show.
Leave your intention.
The one party.
Go forward, never look backward.
The one opinion.
Make sure you have nothing left behind you. Think about or apply for.
And the charisma.
And fight the Rimbaba.
You infect my world with your presence.
The savior, the redeemer, the one-man show, the one party, the one opinion.
Antinomian phase. It means that you ignore all law and sort of trample on all values. If you are killing and massacring thousands of innocent people, you've lost all sense of law. And in various moments of history, when people are feeling extremely desperate, this religious extremism, and there are various examples of this in the past, can tip over into a complete nihilism where all law, even your sacred religious law, is something that you trample on in your desire to get to a new phase.
Time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
It's not even funny. Humor?
That's ridiculous.
You know how many...
It's not even funny.
Humor?
That's ridiculous.
You know how many...
That's ridiculous.
You know how many times...
That's ridiculous. It's not even funny.
Humor?
It's not even funny. It's not even funny.
You know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
It's not even funny. How many time zones?
Yeah. We have four in this country, right?
How many time zones?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Four in this country, right?
Yes, sir. Four, 1, 2, 3, yes, sir.
Right.
1, 2, 3, yes, sir.
Four time zones? Yeah. We have four in this country, right?
No, sir.
We have.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And,
Do you know how many time zones they have?
Yes, sir. Four, no, sir. I never really studied that up.
11.
11. It's not even funny.
11.
11. That's ridiculous. That's
11.
11. Well, that's what we can do. We can go anywhere because we live here.
Not only the right of free travel, I'm saying 11.
11. 43. Yes, sir.
11.
11.
That's how big they are.
Yeah. 11.
That's how big they are.
Yeah. I can believe that. I'm a firm believer in that.
Right.
1, 2, 3. 4. Yes, sir. 1, 2. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Soviet Union, the whole half side of the world.
Yeah.
And we're just on one little tenth of the globe.
Yeah.
When you talk about Biden, we're a country that we're a firm believer on Christ, and it's called help by neighbor. Do not kill, do not, steal, cheat, lie from everybody. That's why we have to have computers, because man, nobody is perfect. It's not even funny.
Humor?
And about power, man, nobody is perfect.
So what is your point?
Nobody is perfect.
So what is your point?
There's two things he'll talk about. One's politics, the other one's religion.
Humor?
The reason you don't talk about it is because they combine in each other. You know what I'm saying?
You know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
You know what I'm saying?
Don't you kid yourself. Thanks, Glenn, for the, just thanks for the good thoughts.
Thank you. Bob. Thank you. ran into my knife. Ran into my knife 10 times. So I took the shotgun off the wall and I fired 2 warning shots into his head.
Washing the blood off my hands, I even knew they were dead. Blood on my hands. I even knew they were dead.
Thank you. veux dire sur l'autre enregistrement qu'on a fait? Ouais. Je crois que t'es en train de le dire sur l'autre enregistrement qu'on a fait. Ouais. Je crois que t'es en train de le dire sur l'autre enregistrement qu'on a fait. Ouais. Je crois que t'es en train de le dire sur l'autre enregistrement qu'on a fait.
Midnight. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, online all over the world, kgnu.org. I'm Buddha Bomb, having a great time tonight. Just finishing up Under the Floorboard show. Going to continue with this vibe for just a little bit, and we'll transition to Sleepless Nights. In fact, we are transitioned. It is a sleepless night. Welcome to Sunday. We have 3 hours of the sleepless nights to go. Not sure which direction it'll go in, but it will. Lots to follow. I'm Buddha Bomb, having lots of fun. You can give me a call, 303-442-4242, or send an email to dj@kgnu.org.